Amen. All right, you ought to be fired up for the word now, right? Ready to receive. Because that's what our singing, that's what our praise does, right? It's like dragging a rake through the soil, man, and making them lines in it. Listen, and now God can come along and plant those seeds, right? Man, that reckless love of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. You know what? God saved this drug addict.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Man. No good, rotten to the core, could care less about you or anybody else.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And here comes God. Amen.
But God.
He said, hey, I got a better way. I said, okay, I'll listen.
Amen.
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 Oh, man. Isn't he good? At least 10 of you think so. All right. We're going to be finishing up chapter 19 of the book of Acts. For those of you who don't know, we go through books here. We go precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. Amen?
Amen.
If you were in the study of Isaiah, then you know that's exactly what the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, right, verse 9 and 10 says. Right? So that's what we do here. We actually been in the book of Acts for 31. This will be 31 weeks. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to understand the Bible.
Amen.
I want you to understand the Word. Because it is only in understanding the Word that your life can be changed, that your life can be transformed. That's it.
Yep.
Right? So I don't want to read a verse and then commentary on that verse to you for 45 minutes or whatever it is, right, and tell you what I think. Here's what I want you to know. I want to read every single word because it is in that word that lives are changed. Okay? Amen? So that's what I do. Do we read it through it and explain it and talk about it? Absolutely. But we read every single word. Amen? All right. So we're on the third missionary journey now, and it's going to end in Acts 21:17. If you look at this map, Paul's third missionary journey lasted about between 4 and 5 years, I believe closer to 5 years, and it covered 2,700 miles. Amen. No speedboats, no automobiles, no motorcycles. All right? All by foot. All right? It is a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God can do through a man. Come on. But I want you to pay special attention to Asia there in the pink. All right? I want you to remember what that looks like. All right, because what we're going to be talking about today has to do with that area, because what we understand from last week is Paul is still in Ephesus, right? He is still in Ephesus, and people say, well, what's Ephesus? Remember, he wrote a book to the Ephesians. So these are the Ephesians. This is the book he wrote to the Ephesians. This is the place where he wrote that book, all right? So the title today is Understanding the Riot at Ephesus. I'm sure you've read through it. I'm sure you've seen it. But my question is, do you understand it? Because that's all that matters, right? Oh, yeah, there was a riot there, you know, and this guy named Demetrius, yeah, he got all upset at Paul, you know, and grabbed a couple of his buddies and all that. But do you really understand it? I'm not saying can you tell me the story, because it's not about the story. It's about the spiritual principles that God is trying to show us within the story. All right? Amen? And that's what we'll definitely be looking at today. You know, when I was putting this together, I'm thinking, man, how cool would it have been to live back in this time? How cool would it have been to stand there and in Acts chapter 2 when Pentecost happened to see those tongues of fire coming down and landing on those people's heads, and they begin to prophesy and speak in tongues, and they spoke in a language that no matter where you were from, you understood what they were saying. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, just to see the miracles that God has wrought through these people. Remember Peter, right? There's this lame man, been lame since birth. Can you imagine being over here sitting down watching, and Peter's walking by, he's going into the temple, he looks at this man who's been lame since birth, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Come on, man, and he does. Wouldn't it be cool to watch that? Wouldn't it be cool to see that? Man, it would be absolutely awesome to live and watch this book of Acts unfold, because what God is doing here, he's planting His church. Right? In other words, he's planting the kingdom of God on this earth. Right? Man. Wouldn't it be cool? Because after that, we know that 5,000 people came to Christ at one time. Wouldn't it be cool to see a mass of 5,000 people who accept Christ at the same time? What a beautiful, beautiful picture that would be, right? God answering the prayers the way he does here in the book of Acts. But even more is to see entire communities flipped upside down. Right side up. Amen? Flipped right side up because the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. Amen? It would have just been cool to be a part of that, right? But listen, I know Acts has 28 chapters, but God is writing 29 and you're part of it. Amen? So the story goes on. The story goes on. The work goes on. Amen? These first Christians for Jesus, oh, it wasn't easy living for Jesus. These guys were tough, right? They weren't sissies. These first Christians that God is using to plant his church had to be fearless. You know what fearless means from a spiritual perspective? It means full of faith. It means you're so full of faith, there ain't no room for fear. Amen. Come on, think about that. Are you fearless today, or are you scared to mention the name of Jesus? Come on, man. There's power in only one name. We looked at that last week. That is the name of Jesus, all right? So a Christian back then, man, he had to be fearless, right? Because they were constantly in trouble, constantly under persecution, constantly facing opposition, right? Man, you had to be, man, this kingdom planting back in the first part wasn't for sissies, right? Really, to be honest with you, they ain't for sissies now either. The problem is we just got too many sissies. Just be honest, yeah. Let me just be honest with you while we're talking about honesty, all right? So let me recap this for you because it's important that you understand the first half of chapter 19 or you'll never get the second half, all right? So Paul comes to Ephesus. He's on his third missionary journey, right? And he comes across 12 men when he sees these 12 men, he says, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't even know what the Holy Spirit is because they had only understood the baptism of John. So what did Paul do? He preached Jesus, right? And then they got saved and he baptized them in the name of Jesus, right? And then he laid hands on them, the Bible says, and they received the Holy Spirit and began to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well, right? And then after Paul does that, he goes into the synagogue, which is his M.O., and he preaches to the Jews for how long? Anybody remember? 3 months. But they run him out. You know, whenever you preach the gospel, there's going to be opposition. Make no mistake about it. Come on. But they run him out. So what he does, he goes next door to the hall of Tyrannus, right? And the Bible says he preaches in Ephesus from that place for 2 years. Listen, Paul preaching for 2 years. We did the math. If he only did 5 hours a day, that would be almost 3,000 hours. Do you know what 3,000 hours of the gospel can do? Come on, man. Listen, yeah, change your life, Gracie. That's right. Change your life, yes. So here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to share with you a couple verses. And these are important because if you don't understand these two verses, you will not get the full picture of the rest of this chapter, okay? So please, stick with me. This is not a long sermon, all right? I always say that, don't I? This is not a long sermon, man. All right. In Acts chapter 19, here in verse 10, it says this. This went on for 2 years. That's Paul teaching in the synagogue or the hall of Tyrannus, right? And he was teaching, discipling, equipping, right? That's what he was doing. So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word. Remember I told you to remember that pink spot, right? That huge pink spot that's probably 300 miles by 500 miles. Paul preached there for 2 years so that the word of the Lord was heard. Now listen, it doesn't say it saved all those people. It says, but the word was heard throughout the province of Asia by Greeks and Jews. That means Jews and Gentiles, right? All right. And then we looked at last week, remember 7 sons of Sceva? In the first part of chapter 19, these vagabond Jews, these itinerant exorcists, were traveling around, casting out demons, using their methodology, whatever that was. But they thought they would go into this man's house who was possessed by a demon, and they would try to invoke the name of Jesus, like Paul did. How'd that turn out for him, man? Here's what the demon said. He said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Right? And then what happened? He beat him up. Yeah. The Bible says that when they came out of that house, they were naked and bleeding. Amen. And what we learned there, man, you just can't use the name of Jesus. Amen. You got to know Jesus to use the name of Jesus. But we learned this. It's even more important that he knows you. Because even the demons believe and tremble. Amen. So you can tell me, you can sit here today and say, "I know Jesus." The question is, does Jesus know you? Amen? That's the question. That is the question. All right, so now after that happens, man, it has changed some minds after they start seeing how powerful this name is. What name?
Jesus.
That name right there, man. And this is what it says in verse 20. It says, "In this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." Listen, I want you to remember these two verses so much that I'm going to repeat them once again. "So all the Jews and Greeks lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord." Verse 20. "And in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." Amen? So everything is going well for the church, wouldn't you say? I mean, in Ephesus, it's growing, it's spreading in power, right? And even though Ephesus is the center of the occult for the entire province of Asia, right? Even though that's where the temple of Diana was, right? And she was the god of fertility, the god of virginity, the god of honey. She was the goddess of everything. Amen? You say, well, I want to explain something to you because I want you to try to understand the picture of how this was. If you Google one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, you are going to see that this temple to Diana, to Artemis, is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. You say, well, I wonder why, Pastor. Listen, it took 220 years to build it. Not only did it take 220 years to build it, this building was longer than a football field, and it had 127 marble columns. All right, now listen, here, man. Each of them weighed 150 tons apiece. So when I say this was a magnificent building, this was an absolute magnificent building. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Because the ruins of it are still there. Amen? And there was even a part of it, one column, and you should see that column. It's just humongous. I said 150 tons. That's what I meant. Well, how many pounds is that, Pastor? 300,000. That's the magnificent of that building, right? So, and at this temple, man, there was 1,000 prostitutes employed. So there was a lot of indulgence going on there, and definitely these cult members were practicing sexual immorality to levels we only see in Vegas. Come on, right? And you know what? I would say it was maybe probably a little bit worse here at the temple of Diana than it even is. These guys were just flagrant right out in the wherever, right? Wherever. But even understanding all that, I want you to see, because you've got to remember them two verses, right? Christianity is taking a hold. Christianity is taking a hold, right? Am I right? All right, let's go on. Verse 21. This is where we left off last week. After all this happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. After all what happened? Everything I just told you about, all right? Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. After I've been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, right? And he's telling Paul, you got to go to Rome too. But we know he does go to Rome. Amen. He will be he won't just visit Rome. He won't visit it in the way he thought. He will go as a prisoner to Rome. But he says this, I am a prisoner for Christ. I'm a prisoner of the gospel. Amen. All right, and then it says, verse 22, he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed. Everybody say stayed. in the province of Asia a little longer. Now, I want to show you a map because I really want you to understand what's going on. We're in Ephesus. That's where Paul is. Paul sent two of his helpers, right, Timothy and Erastus, onto Macedonia, right, which means Philippi, Thessalonica, the places that he's already visited, right? So when Paul says, I must go to Jerusalem, but then he says, I'm going to go through Macedonia and through Achaia, all right, that's what he means. He's going to go ahead and finish up his route, right, that God has already given him prior to this, and then after that, he is going to go to Rome, right? To Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to Rome. You say, well, why is that important? Here's what, remember, he says he stayed there. He wanted to stay there a little longer. Here's what I'm thankful for. We have the entire Word of God. You know what I mean? And this is one big puzzle. And every piece that you need to put the puzzle together is in here. And I am constantly trying to put these pieces together, man, so that I can get the big picture. Right? Because the bigger the picture I have, the more I understand who God is. Amen? Oh, man. So, I'm always trying to do that. But we have the whole picture. And here's what I want to show you, because I want you to know why he stays in Ephesus a little longer. We know that. All right. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. That's not a discussion. That's a fact. All right? He didn't write it on his first missionary journey because he didn't go there. All right? He didn't write it on his second missionary journey, because if you remember back in Acts 18, it says he stopped by there, preached a little, said he had to go. They wanted him to stay. He said, I can't. Lord willing, I'll be back. Remember? All right. So he wrote this book to the 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. Now, I want you to know, I want you to hear what he said as he wrote from this town. Listen to me. In 1 Corinthians 16, listen to what he said. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Amen. Now, I know that don't make a lot of sense to you now, but when we read the rest of the story here in a second, it's going to make all kinds of sense to you. But here's what I want you to know from that verse and from what's happening and what's going to happen. Anytime God opens a door for you for effective ministry, understand this. There will be adversaries. There will be adversities. Listen to me. If you're going to walk through a door that God has opened for you, you just might as well start looking for them. All right? Because I promise you, they're there. If it is an effective work, and it is for Jesus Christ, hear me, there will be opposition. There will be adversaries, right? Isn't that what Paul's saying here? You don't think he opened this door himself, do you? No way he opened this door himself. God opened this wide door. Don't you love the word wide? Big. Not just the door you got to, but a door you can walk through. Amen? All right. That may not make a lot of sense to you, but follow me. Now let's read the rest of the story. All right, verse 23. And I'll explain to you so that when you leave here, you will have understand about the riot in Ephesus. Okay? About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. The church was called the Way back then. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business. Everybody say a lot of business. For the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers in related trades and said, you know, my friends, that we receive a good income from this business. Everybody say a good income. Why do I ask you to repeat something? Because I want to make a point about it later, all right? And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. So here's what I want you to see there. Even he knows that this whole province is flipping, right? It's flipping, man. It's flipping. All right. Where am I at? All right. And practically the hope, okay. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. I second that. Anybody third it? Amen. All right, let it be so. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis or Diana will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia, but listen to this, and the world will be robbed of her divine majesty. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in an uproar, and the people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater together. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Listen, even Paul in his compassion, he's even looking at this and seeing it for an opportunity to preach the gospel. But listen, I'm thankful that God used his disciples, right, to hold him back. But not only the disciples, as we'll see here, he used the leaders of that city, which were Gentile lost people, right, to keep Paul from going there, because had he went in there, they'd have ripped him apart. Amen? Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. Paul takes good advice. Amen? So should we. Biblical advice. Come on. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. What does that remind you of? America. Out there picking in and doing all this stupid stuff. And you walk up to them and you ask them what they're there and why they're there. They ain't got an answer. They ain't got an answer. For real, man. It's ridiculous. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Why did they not want to listen to Alexander? Because he was a Jew. And back then, in this time, these people here from Ephesus thought that Christianity was actually a faction of Judaism, when in fact it was not at all. Amen? All right. So the city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven?" Most likely a meteorite. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. "Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today." Hey, Rome didn't go for that rioting, man. If there was trouble, man, they would send people to squash it, all right? And this town manager clearly knew that. "In this case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. So that is a good story, right? I love stories. I love stories in the Bible. But listen, there is no story in the Bible where God is not trying to teach us something, all right? It's not there just to be there. It's there for a reason. So here's what we see. We see that the church is having success, right? But with the success of the church comes problems, right? You know, the more successful that you and I are as Christians, the more that the evil is going to come against us. You know that, right? You know that's the norm, right? The more success, the more victories we have in our lives, the more opposition we're going to face. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. All right? In other words, you're never just going to get to a place if you're serving God and preaching Jesus and testifying and witnessing about Jesus Christ. You're never going to reach this place where, all right, no more attacks. Not happening. Amen? Until you get, of course, to be with our Lord. So here's what I want you to see. Over time, more and more people are becoming Christians in the city of Ephesus, right? And the whole province of Asia, if you remember the two verses I wanted you to remember. So as a result of these people converting to Christ, the temple of Artemis was suffering financially, as well as those merchants who bought, sold, packaged, distributed, or whatever part they played in the making of these idols that Demetrius is talking about. All right, are you following me? All right, so the reason that there is a problem for the church right here is simple math. Everybody like simple math? All right, let's do the simple math. Listen, the more Christianity takes hold in Ephesus, the less the occult has a hold on the people of Ephesus, right? And the less the occult has a hold on the people, the less the people go to these occult sites, the less these people buy these little gods that he's talking about, these things that they make money on, right? The less, let me put it this way, the less they go to the little temple shops. You follow me? Now, here's what I want you to understand. This is important. I want you to understand that Paul and the church are not attacking this temple, all right? They're not attacking this temple. They're not attacking it and inflicting damage upon it, right? They're not going to it and rallying around it or holding protests about it. They're not attacking the people of it. They're not attacking the Princess Diana or Artemis herself, right? Can you see that? That's not what they're doing. They have their priorities straight. They are. Do you know what your priorities should be? Let's do a priorities check. Let's see if our priorities line up with Paul's priorities. Let me put it on the board. Priority number one, serve and preach Jesus. Priority number two, see priority number one.
Amen.
Come on.
Boom. Amen.
Priority number one, why God saved you, why you're still here, amen, why you're redeemed, amen, is to serve and preach Jesus.
Amen.
And if you ever wonder what priority number two is, well, refer to priority number one. Amen? All right, so Artemis, clearly, the Bible says he is the most famous god, idol, and not only this whole area. We read it, right? And Tammy, you mouthed it with me. Not only in Ephesus, but in the world, right? But even so, it's going broke, right? It's not going broke, though, because of an attack upon it. It's clearly going broke because of neglect. Would you agree with that? Now follow me. Follow me. I told you this wasn't a long sermon, but it's a powerful one if you listen to me. All right? So a silversmith named Demetrius does the math. It's pretty simple math. You know, Demetrius, you know, he does the math. He started looking at his bottom line. It don't look too good. Right? So he calls together all those in related trades. In other words, all those who create or anyway sell these little trinkets, right? Those who literally make sale packages, like I said, these little trinkets. And I want you to know, archaeologists today still find these little pocket gods all over this ancient area. You know what I mean? These little pocket gods, maybe made of brass, maybe coated or plated with silver or gold, but they were about the size of those green army men that we used to play with as kids. I know some of you girls probably didn't play with them, but I know you know what I'm talking about, right? Because they were everywhere, right? Those little green army men were everywhere. But here's what they thought, man. They could go into these temples and buy one of these little pocket gods, and they would think somehow this pocket god, if they just take it with them wherever they go, of course, is going to protect them, all right? All right, so Demetrius gathers all these people together, and he takes them to the amphitheater, and it holds about 25,000 because there's still enough ruins to be able, with our technology today, to look at it and put it back together and then decide how many people this is going to sit. But I want to reread something to you that he said. Now listen to me. This is where I told you it wasn't a long message. So follow me from here really close. All right? Verse 24 and 26. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers and related trades and said, "You know, my friends, that we received a good income." Man, money, money, money. Come on. From this business. "And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia." So here's what I want you to see. Listen, it sounds like it's all about money, doesn't it? It smells like it's all about money, doesn't it? But listen to me. It ain't got nothing to do with money. Now, hear me, please. This is important. If we were to stand back and look at this story from a worldly perspective, Yeah, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see it's all about money because that's what the world sees. But listen, we are called in 2 Corinthians 5:16 to see things differently. The Bible says we no longer see things from a worldly perspective, but now because we have the Holy Spirit, we see things from a spiritual perspective. Listen, we got to have them glasses on. We got to have the sun glasses on. Everybody know what I mean by sun glasses? Right? S-O-N glasses. You following me? We got to see things the way God wants us to see them, not the way we want to see them or the world would see them. Amen? That makes sense? All right. So, yes, these people are upset that their personal economy is failing. There's no doubt about that, right? And yes, these people are correct that Jesus is at the root of their financial dilemma. No doubt about that either, right? But this is not about money at all. Now listen to me, because this is probably the most important statement that I'll make. It's about a change of spiritual forces in this whole region. Do you hear me? It's not about money at all. It isn't. It isn't about economics at all. Listen, before Paul arrived here preaching the gospel, this occult had a hold on the whole religion, on the whole region. You hearing me? All of it. And now Paul shows up preaching the simple truth of Jesus Christ, right? And now Jesus Christ is dominating the whole region. Amen? So this isn't about idols. This isn't about economics. Listen to me. This is about a spiritual battle being played out right before our eyes for the souls of men and women. That's what's going on here. Amen? I hope you see that. I hope you see that. Man, there is a changing of the guard taking place here. Right? Now, Paul, I want to share a couple things with you. Paul will make it to Rome, will he not? Everybody know Paul makes it to Rome. Matter of fact, that's where Paul dies. That's where he is martyred for the Christian faith. Many believe he lost his head. The Bible doesn't say, so I can't tell you for certainty, nor would I if the Bible doesn't say it. But we know he died there. We know he told Timothy in 2 Timothy, the last book he wrote, I am fixing to be poured out like a drink offering. All right? So we know that. We know that he knew his life was coming to an end. But he knew this, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Because how do I know he know that? Because God gave it to him to tell us. Amen? All right. So we know he goes to Rome, right? And it is from Rome. Now listen. It is from Rome that he writes the letter to the Ephesians. You hear me? You follow me? Where's he at right now? Ephesus. So when he goes to Rome, finally, he writes the letter to Ephesus, to the Ephesians. And this is what he said. I will never look at this verse the same again after understanding this riot in Ephesus. Here's what he said. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Amen? You know what Paul was doing? He was saying, don't forget. Remember. Remember what we accomplished there. And we didn't attack the temple. We didn't attack the people. We didn't protest their politics. Come on. All we did was preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh. Let me drive this home for you. Because in verse 37, I found it fascinating. Because the town clerk gets up there, right? And he gives us a description of the character of these people. Listen, and this is what he's telling the crowd, right? He says, you have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. Wow. You follow me? I hope you're following me. They didn't trash the temple. They didn't trash their politics. They didn't attack those people of the occult. They didn't do any of that. They just simply preached the word and the truth of God. Amen? Listen, conflict always arises wherever the gospel is preached faithfully and in power. Amen? And there will always be opposition to it. But listen, that's the only way it's going to change people's lives. That's the only way it's going to change people's lives. Because listen, and this is proof of it, when the gospel is preached in power, listen, there's a light And in that light, darkness is revealed. True story right there. I want you to know, because that's what happened. This was a dark, dark place before Paul got there. And Paul comes preaching the light of Jesus. And all of a sudden, man, these people start going, running from the dark into the light. Amen. Remember the simple math we talked about? The more Christianity spreads, the less influence the occult had. Am I right? The more Christians there were, the less money they spent in the temple worshiping false gods. Right? The temple of Artemis is dying. It is in financial dilemma. Right? The occult here is on its way out. Now here's the beautiful part. In 252 AD, just years later, the Goths would invade Ephesus, burn it to the ground, and it would never be rebuilt because of lack of interest.
Amen.
A little small spark. Right? All right. Look. And here's something else I want you to see. Remember, they were standing there yelling, "Great is God of the Artemis," for how long?
2 hours.
They cried out to her for 2 hours, but she didn't do a thing. You know why? She ain't dead. There's one God. One God. Amen? I think that's humorous, man. They cry out for 2 hours and she's powerless to do anything. Because, well, she don't exist. Right? All right. So here's what God wants me to expound this to you, this last point, all right? Because this is what he wants us to learn from this right here, this story. This highlights a simple yet profound concept for both of us, for all of us, not only in our personal lives, but in the church as a whole. Number one, serve Jesus. Preach Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Because why? Here's the deal. When the dominion of Christ grows, dominion of evil will shrink. Do you not get this, what I'm trying to say? That's the only way it's going to work. You get it, right? Do you realize now the power that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's all Paul did. He came and he preached the gospel, right? And he flipped this whole providence right side up. But he didn't really do it, did he? Huh? All he did was faithful to preach the word. And because of his faithfulness and Timothy's and Erastus and all those that were with him to preaching the word, man, evil decreased. Weather for Texas. There's some evil out there, people. And here's what I want you to know. The only way that we're going to shine a light on that darkness is to preach the name and the word of Jesus Christ. I can't preach to all of them, people. We all got to do it.
Amen.
Today we're afraid to mention the name of Jesus. But in that name, has the power to deliver or transform our lives. You hear me? That's it.
Yeah.
If we're afraid to preach the gospel, then we'll never transform this city. Amen? Yeah. But if we'll just do what God said, just preach the gospel, we don't even have to worry about who's going to get saved and who's not. Because if we do our part, He will do His part. All right, priority number one. Serve and preach Jesus. Priority number two. You know what I'm thankful for this morning? That I have that power and authority within me. You understand what I'm saying? That I have that power and authority within me because I have trusted in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for the payment of my sins. Thank you, Lord. That you want to use me to bring other people to you? What an honor that is. What an honor that is that God would use. Yeah, He wants to use you and you and you and you and you, all of us. Amen? If you would, stand with me. Told you it was short. So when you look at this story, the story of the riot in Ephesus, and if you see it from a spiritual perspective, that's the only way you're going to see it from the right way, right? Paul comes into this town. It's evil. It's dark. It's where the occult thrives and lives. He begins preaching the word of Jesus, right? Verse 10 said that the word spread all throughout the Asia to where the Greeks and the Jews all heard about the word or about the Lord, right? And then in verse 20 it says, hey, the word of the Lord spread in power and grew. Amen. Why? What's Paul doing? Knocking on doors? No. He wasn't. He was preaching in the hall of Tyrannus, and he was doing it for 2 years. But listen, here's the deal. The people he was preaching to heard, received the message, and took it with them. Paul didn't do it all by himself. Amen? But the people he spoke to had such a desire for others that were lost that they took it with them. That's the way the entire providence of Asia was transformed. Amen? That's the way it works. Amen? We got to do the same thing, you and I. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs our help. And you know what? God give us that responsibility. Hallelujah. But the riot started, not because of economic reasons, not because of money, but because, hey, they were losing their whole region. Darkness was being flipped over to the light. Amen? I want you to remember this as you leave here. When you preach the light of the gospel in your family, when you testify about it, the light of the gospel, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it may be, in the community, wherever it may be, in your club, at the bowling alley, listen. I want you to understand the power that it has. Amen? And yeah, you may not touch everybody, but you will touch some. And you never know what that spark is going to set off. Amen? We just got to preach it. We just got to tell the truth. And the truth will take care of itself. Amen? Father, we just thank you today for this day that you've given us. And Father, we thank you for this word and this story here in Acts chapter 19, Lord. And there's just so much that we can learn about you and your character and your principles, Lord. Man, you've made it simple. We don't got to go picket and beat down places and false gods and Lord, we just got to preach the gospel. We just got to witness about you, testify about you. And you know what? Maybe they'll be saved, maybe they won't. That's not our problem. That's yours. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to see that. The only way we're going to see that, Lord, is to understand the power that your name has. Oh, it's a powerful name, Lord. No other name given under heaven by which man must be saved. At that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus, you said yourself that all power and authority has been given unto you by your Father. Man. Help me, Lord, to get my priorities straight, to serve you and testify about you. Give me a heart for people who are lost. Father, if there's anyone here today who doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, who can't go back to a time in their life and say, that's where I gave my life to Christ and the Holy Spirit entered me. Lord, I pray today that today would be the day of salvation for them. For us that are Christians, Lord, help us today to see something. To see what a little preaching can do. Oh, it can change a whole city. It can change a whole family. Oh, Lord, help us to see that. Maybe we need to come forward this morning and accept accept you as our Savior. Maybe we need to come forward this morning and ask you to encourage us, Lord. Give us strength and embolden us in a wicked world to speak the name of Jesus. Maybe we need to come and pray for a brother or sister who's struggling. Maybe we need to grab one by the hand and bring them down with us. Whatever someone needs to come down, Lord, and bow before you. If you're speaking to them this morning, Lord, I pray they do just that. Today we give you all the honor, Lord, and all the glory, with this understanding that you are the only one who's worth it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Altar's open if you need to come pray for anything.